I'm starting?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm starting a new podcast here in what they call It's Marriage with a question mark, right?
It's been a little while since we've been back to our mics.
Yeah, so.
Here we go, right? Today, we get the privilege. It is a privilege. It's always a privilege. Yeah. To sit down with Dave and Lois Lilienthal. Those names don't sound familiar to you. They have been members of this church for, well, we'll let them tell us,
a long time. Yeah, a long time.
So it'll be fun to hear their story. What's one word you would use to describe Lilienthal's, Mark?
I would say F-U-N, fun.
Fun. Yeah. Definitely fun. Both of them. Yeah. I mean, I know they've certainly had many struggles throughout their, married life,
right,
and so forth. They always just have this inner joy in them, which is just a beautiful testimony to how they've let the Lord navigate their life. Dave and Lois are a blended family. We look forward to hearing more of the journey to this point, right? Little bit about their ministry here in the church. Lois serves currently on our Connect ministry team, I guess is what you would call it, which is part of greeting people,
connecting people, bringing people together.
Thank you.
Being a face.
Trouble.
Yeah, that's fine. Being a face when you come to the church, especially if you're new. Just linking them into the activities and people of the church.
She's great. She's absolutely great at that. So she's where she belongs.
And David, he's been trustee. He's been trustee.
Right.
He's been, I think, a
deacon. I don't know. Yeah. I know he's an usher
as well. Yeah.
And I guess the big thing, which he might correct us on, is all the kids in the church, the little kids, know him.
Has a pocket full of candy.
Yeah. Right. All right. So, hope you all enjoy.
Yeah. Well, welcome, David and Lois Lilienthal.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Hi.
How are we doing tonight?
Great.
It is evening. Yeah.
We're well.
Yeah.
Do we want to date this?
Probably not.
We've dated for a long time.
I like that you still call it a dating. That's great.
That's awesome. So I think we're going to jump right into the conversation and go from there. So the first thought that we, or the first question that we have for you is, how long have you been married? And tell us how you met. And here's the fun part, how you fell in love. So, yeah.
Yeah, wherever you guys want to start the story.
Before I met David, my sister lived in Washington State, and she asked me to come out for Christmas with the girls. So Christmas Eve, I'm looking out her window, and her husband is outside setting up a swing set for the kids for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And I said to my sister, I want a husband like that. And she goes, well, let's pray. She goes, but pray for one better than Mike. And we prayed for a few years, and I got David, and he is better than Mike was.
That's awesome.
I don't his head, but yeah.
Mike was a far stronger Christian than I am.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So I was very thankful for for God answering that prayer.
Yeah.
But we met in 83.
Okay.
January of 83.
All right.
Wow. And we got married in 86.
December of 86.
So 3 years of knowing each other, getting to know each other. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
It's kind of us. Yeah. We knew each other for three years.
3 years, yeah.
Well, I broke up with him because
I was firmly entrenched on sitting on the fence.
He didn't want to get married, so I just said goodbye.
Yeah.
And then one day on December 1st, he said, you want to get married? And I said, that is not something you joke around with. And he said, I'm not joking. You want to get married?
Wow.
So we got married 12 days later.
That's
no
awesome.
Way.
It was very spontaneous.
Yeah.
I didn't start the evening out planning that.
It just came to you. Let's get married.
It just happened. And in one of the marriage dinners, we won a prize because we had the shortest engagement.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it was very spontaneous.
Yeah.
And we were married by Lois's boss, who was a justice of the peace.
Mm.
And it was, he was there, his wife was there, it was in their living room. And Lois's parents were there, and our girls were there, and that was it.
Wow.
Okay. And we didn't really tell anybody until we sent out Christmas cards that year.
Okay, so what age were both of you? Because you're already implying that there you kind of had a previous life before you guys came
When we got
together.
Married, I was 32.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 86.
A woman isn't supposed to say her age, right?
That's all right. In that area.
Lois was a cougar.
She was a cougar.
30-something.
Okay.
30-something. Okay. But I was married previously.
Okay.
It wasn't a good marriage. But the only thing good that came out of it was the two girls.
Yeah, two daughters.
Yeah.
That is such a blessing. So, yeah. So I want to go back a little bit here because you prayed and all of a sudden David showed up on the scene. How did...
It was several years.
Several years. Were you in New England?
Yeah.
You met in New England?
Yeah. Tell them I'm
a displaced auto worker.
Oh, okay.
I'm from Michigan originally.
All right.
And they closed the plant that I worked at and shipped it to Mexico just long before
NAFTA. And you didn't go to Mexico?
No. Not at that point. But this was pre-NAFTA. And anyways, okay. I was a certified welder at the foundry, and it was they were building Seabrook at the time. They needed welders at Seabrook.
Oh, the power plant.
The power plant. Mm-hmm. So my brother had the same qualifications I had. We both got laid off from the foundry. We came out here, hired in at Seabrook in April of 82.
Hmm.
And then I have a sister that bought a house on Hampton Beach, and she met Lois's dad at a funeral. And I was still living in Michigan.
Amazing.
I was still living in Michigan at the time. And she came home and said, I met a lobsterman in New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
So another sister married a guy that lives in Haverhill. So, and his whole family duck hunted. And I was duck hunted in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So in the fall, I would come out here to go duck hunting at Plum Island for a week. And when I wasn't duck hunting, I'd go lobstering with her dad.
Wow.
So you knew my dad before I met Lois. I knew her dad for four years before I met Lois.
Wow.
So this started in like 79, and I didn't meet Lois until 83, and we moved out here in 82.
Wow.
So I had several years that I came out to go duck hunting and lobstering with Oscar. And so when we finally moved out here, Lois and mom and dad invited my brother and I over for dinner one night. And
it was when Dominic Villado had passed away, Ginny Villado's husband.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And I had to do, I was going over another girl's house to make cookies for the
the wake
funeral. And so my mother wanted me to bring something to her house.
Some pictures.
And so I said, okay. But I'm not staying because him and his brother were there. I said, I'm not staying because I have to go make cookies over Joanne's house. And so I sat down, and it was like we just kept on talking. And it was like nobody else was in the room. We just kept on talking. Mm-hmm. 2 hours later, I knock on my friend's door. She said, I didn't know where you were. She was a little nervous because I had called her and said, I'm on my way.
Yeah, right. What happened?
That was way before cell phones. She had no way of getting in touch with me.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
Huh. Yeah, so
a lot of moving parts and pieces.
Yes.
And I do believe that's obviously prayer.
Yes.
And God knowing that somehow, in some way, you two were going to come together.
Yes, he had a plan. I don't know what it is yet, but he had a plan.
So from Washington State to Michigan to New England, all of that. Yeah. That's cool.
And then Lois is, well, I came pre-approved from Oscar and Phyllis.
That's halfway.
I passed the test.
Right, that's right.
That's so, a big deal.
I was already part of the family.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've talked a little bit about your siblings and some family. So tell us about your upbringings. Were they different or similar?
We both were Catholic.
Oh, okay.
We both brought We both came from large families. We each had two brothers and four sisters, and we are both middle children.
Both of you?
Both of us.
You have the same?
Oh, wow. Yeah, both of us.
Are you a middle child?
Yeah, we both are.
Middle of seven.
He's got two brothers.
So maybe you guys are cloned or something.
Oh, yeah, you can tell, right?
My childhood wasn't as good as his. His was a better. I was the kid that got picked on all the time because I had the two older sisters and the two younger sisters. So the older sisters made me do stuff. The younger sisters made me do stuff. You know, so if something had to be done around the house, Lois, you do it. Yeah. And it was always.
Did you feel like the forgotten kid? Sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. How about you?
I had it made.
You were the child that could do no wrong.
Well, I did plenty of things that were wrong.
He definitely was. His mother said that he was perfect.
They couldn't keep track of me. They never knew where I was at, and I had to leave it to Beaver child. I had it. Really? My mother was a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. My dad was a cop in town, and I had free roam range of whatever I wanted to do, basically. Mm. Mostly I was either in the basement using my dad's tools or outside trying to burn something.
And in that day, we could run around and just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We didn't have to worry about things that people worry about now.
I had a blast. I'd jump on my bike, ride all around town. Nobody knew. My mother never knew where I was until I came home needing to go to the hospital and get stitches.
She probably never worried.
Or before the lights came on. That's when I had to come home.
Well, but if you notice in Michigan, we're at the end of the time zone. So
it's lighter later.
It's lighter into 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. So, that's cool. Yeah.
we during the summer, we had quite a long day.
Right.
But I enjoyed my childhood. I had a lot of fun. And my two older brothers, we didn't hang around a lot, but we did a lot of stuff together. Mm-hmm. And I had one older sister and three younger sisters, and I tortured them relentlessly.
Siblings are brutal.
My sisters will tell you that I was, how do they phrase it, that I was the fun brother. Mm-hmm. But it was more that I was more mischievous than anything.
And they enjoyed that.
And they paid a price for it. One sister broke her arm when we were playing one day, and another one broke a tooth.
And because you were such a wonderful boy, you never got blamed for it.
I took the blame, but it kind of just wasn't very serious.
Okay. Well, are you guys close to your families now? And actually, this is a twofold question. So are you close geographically with your family? And are you close relationally?
I have two sisters and a brother that live in California.
So that's not close.
No. Mm-hmm. I have a sister that lives in Florida that comes to visit me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I have a sister that lives in Northampton. I would say we're basically all close. Mm. When the girls have milestone birthdays, we always do a big thing.
That's great.
Does everyone come here or do you go?
Wherever the birthday is.
Oh, I see.
The birthday person.
She's going to California in July.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, there's three of them out there, right?
That's fine. So, yeah.
So I have a sister who lives in Haverhill, but I don't see her that frequently. She's got four girls of her own that are grown and has a lot of, she's got eight grandkids locally. So she's pretty busy. She's a nurse at Lawrence General. So she's always busy and we don't have a lot of time to get together.
And she was here before you moved?
She was married and moved here before I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I have one sister passed away last September, the oldest in the family.
And how old was she?
75.
Wow.
And then the rest of the family, my remaining five siblings, still live in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Actually, my oldest brother lives down the street from our family home. And my youngest sister is going to buy the family home in a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
My oldest sister was living there. My youngest sister is going to buy it. So I don't see my family. I've seen my family more in the last several years than I have in a long time. Hmm. But it doesn't take long for us to catch up. Hmm. And in 2018, while driving to work in the morning, there's a local radio station that has a little girl that came on at the time, and her name was Abby, and she'd do Abby's joke of the day.
Oh, no.
So on the way to work, I'd hear this joke, and I would text my six siblings at the time the joke of the day. And so they start – it got to the point where by 9 o'clock in the morning, I would have 70 texts. They were scouring That's the internet, great. And this went on really strongly for probably 4 years.
Wow.
It's faded off a little bit now, but we still have the family text line, chat line, and we communicate quite a bit.
Wow.
With that.
Were you part of that text, Lois?
Oh, she
yes,
is.
I was. My phone would ding constantly.
Two of my sisters opted out because they couldn't stand it.
Right.
It was driving them crazy. But we kept in touch that way. And during COVID, we would, on birthdays or any relevant holidays, or whatever, we would do Zoom calls so we could see each other and talk.
That's intentional.
I think we're both fortunate that
absolutely
we do. Like his sister's coming out tomorrow from Michigan, so we'll hang out with her for the weekend.
And Lois's sister just left yesterday.
I know about you both, how intentional you are with relationships.
Yeah. And I think that's
keeping
the word.
In touch with people who you've known for years. Yeah. That's rare.
It really is, because it's so easy to not get that gap. And before it goes, it's a month and it's a year. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely
Lois is extremely good at keeping in touch with people. Yeah. She knows so many people.
Yeah.
And
she should run for governor.
When I first met Lois, we'd be going through Exeter, and she'd say, I'd bump into somebody. Oh, I went to school with so-and-so.
Yeah.
We'd walk down the street.
Of course she did.
She'd bump into somebody else. Oh, I went to school with so-and-so. Right. I looked at her and says, how long were you in school? And she says, well, when you're a freshman, you know everybody up to being a senior.
Yeah.
When you're a senior, you know everybody back down to being a freshman. Right. So there's like 7 years there.
I never looked at it that way.
No, you don't. You might know six people in your class, and that's it. But she knows people. We went to a funeral yesterday. She bumped into a girl she hadn't seen in like 45 years.
Oh, wow. She was one of my very –
recognized her. She recognized me. Okay. Wow. I did not recognize her. I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's pretty
crazy. Your classmates at
St. Michael's. She went to St. Michael's with me, which was the Catholic school, so it was – 8th grade below, and we were very good friends at that time.
That is cool.
And she recognized me right off.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So they're sitting in the funeral home last night, chatting up and it laughing was, and moving collars. Like, okay,
they're back.
We're going to be here a while.
We're laughing, and people are looking at it. Oh, well.
That is something about funerals, though. There is laughter at funerals.
And that's
obviously, hopefully
there's
there is.
Sadness and mourning, but there's laughter. Yeah. So that's neat. So I kind of want to turn towards marriage, and I want you guys to share what you've learned over the years that you would say are a must in marriage.
Talk, talk, talk.
Amen.
And pray. Mm-hmm. The biggest is if somebody tells me something and says right off, don't tell David, don't tell me it. I don't want to hear it.
That's 100% with you.
It was in our first couple of years of marriage.
Oh, the first week.
Because we were already on. David was talking to his sister on the phone, and she said, don't tell Lois. Please don't tell Lois. And I overheard it. And so when he got off the phone, I was very upset.
Yeah.
And I said, if this marriage is going to work, we need Absolutely. To be open and tell each other everything. Yeah. So we always tell everything unless one of us forgets.
Mm-hmm. Are you pointing a finger at me, Lois?
Well, time does sort of dictate that a little bit. Yeah, we are very much the same.
Yeah.
Because I believe it strengthens your marriage and
just
your relationship.
To share it all.
Yeah. And then another thing is we don't have his jobs or my jobs. They're both all of our jobs. Mm. So if something needs to be done, you see it needs to be done, do it.
Mm. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, there's no set chores. I mean, I do the garbage and recycling, stuff like that. But as far as doing dishes or laundry or whatever, we can either one of us can do it or do it.
And Lois fixes the leaks up on the chimney and stuff.
I would if I had to.
Yeah, there you go.
Before we got married, she would have. After we got married, she kind of deferred all that. She used to be a very independent woman.
There are some jobs that it's
She was a very independent woman before she met me. Sure. After we got married, all of a sudden she didn't know how to drive. She didn't know how to get anywhere. She didn't know what tools. What are you talking about?
No, it's helpful. You're in the picture now.
Yeah. That's what I prayed for.
Absolutely.
So communication, sharing responsibilities. Is there anything else that's a must for a marriage?
God, we have been blessed so greatly. Mm. But he is so important that we have to focus on that. Mm. And just as a sidebar, but it's very helpful if you have common interests.
Yeah. Mm.
And I have some that Lois has no interest in.
duck hunting.
Well, I don't even do. I don't. She went with me once, but really? I don't even. I don't You're do. I don't do that any longer. Yeah. I do hunt, but not very often. But there are some things that you know she just isn't interested in.
Yeah.
And but that is very. It's helpful when you can do things together that you both enjoy.
Yeah. How have you? I know we don't have this as a question, but how have you navigated that? So if there are different interests, how do you kind of find a common ground?
Oh, well, his interest he's talking about is going to the mall. His mall is the Exeter dump.
Oh,
I have no desire to dump. Do that. I have no desire to.
It's not a dump, clear, it's a mall.
It's a mall.
It's very clear-cut thing. It doesn't, And mine is like I do all my crafts. And he has no interest in doing some of the stuff.
You give each other space. Yeah.
But she plays pickleball. There's things that we do independently.
Right.
That I mean, I play pickleball occasionally, but I like she'll play every day if she can.
Right. That's good. I think that's helpful.
It really is. Well, you two, I don't know if you remember many years ago where everyone was going kayaking and we didn't have kayaks at the time. And so you lent us your tandem.
And you're still, and you're still married?
And you laughed at us. Oh, you probably don't remember. We're around Newcastle. And,
Which is, for those who don't know, that's the ocean.
Yeah.
So our first time out is in a tandem kayak.
And we're going where the river was coming in. Remember that?
Right. And everyone's laughing at us. And Mark and I are in full-blown argument. And we're trying to be really cool about it.
Yeah.
And everyone's laughing because they know what's going on.
What we're going
with us.
Through. Yeah.
Well, they call tandem kayaks the divorce
they
makers.
They do. Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
It totally is. So.
Yeah. And we got the tandem because Lois wasn't really comfortable on the water.
Yeah.
And when we go kayaking in tandem, she also brings a book. And she has a habit of putting your feet up and paddle down and read a book while I'm in the back in the old steam engine.
Well, about 15 years later, we got our own kayaks, and then we ended up selling those during COVID, and we have a tandem now.
You do?
So we have really worked out our marriage.
Wow, good for you.
And she does the same thing. She does.
I'm like, if I
she just kind of goes.
Do you have a rudder?
No.
You have
we need a rudder.
You need a rudder.
All right, that's for a different conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
But we've come a long way.
We've learned to work together.
It's
so
good.
It's just good.
Yeah.
All right. So another question here. Where have you seen the Lord answer prayer in your family and or marriage that has strengthened your relationship?
Well, you want to talk about ISIS?
One day I was doing my devotions, and I just said, Lord, if I should go get a job, give me a sign. Let me know. Because I wasn't working, and I just felt guilty having David go to work and me stay home and clean the house and then go off to lunch and whatever. And I really felt like he said, wait. Hmm. And so I waited. Two days later, I get a phone call from Safe Family saying they had a four-year-old girl.
Oh, my. Seriously? Mm-hmm. Now, how were you connected? You were connected with them, though, right?
Yes. We had done, we had done all the training for Safe Family.
Safe Family.
So we were in the system, but that was the first child.
So we went to Manchester to pick her up.
Remember that day?
And on the way home, she said, when you're done with me, will you bring me back here to this family that she was with? I started crying. I couldn't answer. I said, answer her. So we stopped and David talked to her, and then we stopped at the drugstore to get her a toothbrush because she didn't have a toothbrush. So I bought her. She had a grocery bag of stuff, and that was it. So I went in and I bought her a comb and brush and toothbrush and then a ball. And she was really happy. I think at that time we needed her.
Yeah.
Because it was just the two of us. The kids were already moved out of the house. And she was just a blessing.
So you just knew when you got that phone call that there was like no hesitation. We need to do this.
And this was supposed to be.
It was only supposed to be a month.
Yeah.
Well, because after a month, for safe families, you can only have somebody for a month, have a child for a month. We went to court and got custody, full custody.
We became her guardians.
Which is crazy.
Because her mother was what we called school, and her father was deceased. So we had her for just shy of a year. When Melissa and I got married and I adopted the girls, they were 12 and 14 at the time. So I never had little kids around the house. Yeah. And Isis came into our family as a four-year-old, a precocious, goofy little four-year-old. And she was a lot of fun.
Wow.
She walked in the house that night after asking if she could go back to the other house when we were done with her. In a dark house, a strange house, she ran down the hall, a dark hallway, and crawled under a bed and hid under the bed to play hide and seek.
Wow.
Oh,
no fear whatsoever. Huh. But that's just, that was just the way that she was built. And we found out later, we were taking her to counseling, that because she would go into a room and she would talk to everybody. She could, any adult, she wanted to know who everybody was.
She wasn't afraid.
And the counselor explained to us, I thought she's just a precocious little four-year-old, like to talk to people. But she was always in survival mode.
Oh. Mm.
She was always wanted to be in control of her environment.
Mm.
And not being afraid to go into a dark house in a dark room and hide under a bed. She was kind of just controlling her environment.
That's what got her through.
Yeah.
But in 88, we had gone to Michigan because that's where David's from. And we went to visit his former mother-in-law. And she was telling us about Jamie. And Jamie is his former wife's niece.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother-in-law was telling us about Jamie. And her situation, her living situation wasn't good. Her father was incarcerated and her mother was in the hospital. So we left there and I said to David, what are you going to do? And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, what are you going to do about Jamie? And he goes, well, what are you talking about? And I said, I think we should try to get Jamie because she's not in a good spot. So then he realized that he had to do something. So we ended up getting Jamie. She was just turned 11.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We drove from New Hampshire to Indiana over a weekend, picked her up, and we went there with the intention of picking up Jamie and her dog.
We didn't know she had a dog at that time.
Well, we found out when we got there.
Yeah. And the dog came with her.
Not only that, we found out that her 18-year-old sister came with us and her husband.
Oh, York. Yeah.
Her sister got married and went to court to try to get custody of Jamie, and the courts wouldn't give her custody.
Wow.
And what so we ended up getting.
That's kind of touching, an 18-year-old would want to make sure her sister was with her.
Yeah.
And so we left New Hampshire as a family of four. The kids didn't go with us.
The kids.
So we went back to New Hampshire as a family of seven with a dog.
Right.
Over a weekend.
Wow.
Wow.
So it was a challenging time.
Yeah, for sure.
Changing bedrooms around.
Jamie was my niece. I was previously married, and I was her godfather from my Catholic environment. And that was the hook that really, after Lois slapped me and told me that I needed to wake up. But, I mean, that was really what, I said that I would do that. I would take care of her.
Yeah.
And so we brought her home, and there were some challenges involved having a married couple in the house and young couple in the house and Jamie herself. And there was a lot of issues, but we worked our way through it. And Jackie and her husband left after a couple were we were asked to leave after a couple of months.
Mm. And how long did you have your niece?
Still have.
Well, after she graduated, we got her through high school, and after she graduated from high school, she joined the Navy.
Oh, wow.
And she spent 9 years in the Navy on aircraft carriers.
Wow. And
then she married a sailor, and now she lives in Glen Burnie, Maryland, and has 2 children of her own. Mm. That her oldest daughter just joined the Navy. Mm. So, we're still involved, and we consider her our daughter. And her kids are our grandkids.
That's amazing.
We don't get to see them very often, but we do chat on the phone or send text messages.
Now, do you feel like this interaction with bringing in all of these children into your marriage, do you feel like that has strengthened you guys as a couple? Do you feel like you're still even keel as a couple?
Or? Well, they survived it and did it together. I mean, that says a lot.
Yeah.
There were a lot of challenges along the way, but sure. I think we were on the same page as far as we were consistent with what we believed and what we
did
not.
Yeah, and I think that's the question.
How we parented.
Yeah.
Although Lois thought I was too strict, but.
I wouldn't have wanted him for a father.
Sometimes that's good.
Great as a husband, not as a father.
Well, when I grew up, we always sat at the table for dinner. Mm-hmm. And that's how we did it with our girls. But we never, growing up, we never knew how many plates to set at the table.
Oh, wow.
Because until like 5 minutes before it was time to eat, very seldom there was not somebody else at the table.
They just show up and, yeah.
I lived in Exeter. I was a teenager. Phillips Exeter Academy was a boys' school. We would meet the boys down the parkway, bring them to my mother's house. My mother would feed them dinner. We'd bring them back down the parkway,
that's
and they'd
amazing.
Walk home.
So you had that example because you're very much like that.
Yeah. And so I would consider, on a faith explanation here, you guys do have a gift of hospitality. It is, I think it's just in your DNA that.
For sure.
You just, it's just instant for you guys to invite that in. So,
if someone's in need, I would know. I would instantly think Lilienthal's.
Send him to David.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, but you know, coming from a larger family, and especially with Lois's background, always having people around.
Yeah.
I mean, it
does make a difference. I didn't have that growing up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, home was private.
Oh.
Very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've seen our kitchen, and there were many holidays that we had 24 people in the kitchen for like Thanksgiving or Christmas.
That's when it's fun, right?
And I was working at a power plant down in near Boston, and there was a guy from Kentucky or Tennessee down there by himself, no place to go.
Did you know him?
He was an insulator. I saw him on the job, and I was talking to him one day, and he said he was there by himself, so I invited him up for Thanksgiving. He came in the house, and he saw the table set up. You know, it's like 18 feet long with all these table places, and he was in shock.
Yeah.
He didn't like people. He didn't like people.
Did he run
crowds.
Away?
He stayed for dinner, but booted as soon as he could leave.
Yeah.
Booked it.
Wow.
But, quickly.
Yeah, I mean, over the years, the Hastings were regulars at our house.
Yeah.
And the witnesses, we've had a whole, we're comfortable doing it. It's easy.
But you've accepted the call that the Lord's had on your life is what I would say. On the heels of that, can you share how you both deal with hardships or conflict in your marriage? Did you deal with those things the same? And if not, how did you figure out how to do that?
When we're dealing with external forces, external conflicts, we communicate. We talk well about it and discuss things. And we typically have a unified front. When we have disagreements between each other, ourselves, I tend to internalize. We don't argue and scream and things like that. I just shut up. I just don't talk.
Yeah.
So your flight. Is that what they call it? Flight?
Fight or flight? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't go far, but I'm there.
I always say that you both.
But I've never been much for arguing, so I just don't do it.
You shut down.
Yeah, shut down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And will you go after him? Or will you let him
I'll No, I'll tell him that.
No, you don't.
You don't need to treat me that way. Yeah. Or, you can answer me.
Which is communication. You're communicating.
Yeah.
Typically, if Lois is thinking something, it's on her lip. It's coming out. She doesn't have any private thoughts.
At least you're not left guessing where she's coming from. Right?
I wasn't guessing in the beginning.
So it kind of so it lands on communication and just really wrestling, because I'm like you, David. I'll shut down and I'll need to really process it, and you'll want to get it taken care of.
And when he shuts down, it's almost like I feel like I've got to keep pushing, and that's never helpful. Never works.
I need to ponder things for a while.
Yeah, and that's true.
Because if I react immediately, I'm liable to say something I really don't mean or don't want to say, and it just causes more problems.
So I
tend to ponder.
Do you feel like you learned how to do that better, knowing that you were previously married? So when you guys came together, you kind of had a jump start.
Oh yeah,
we're going to communicate a little different this round.
Yeah, we came into it with experience. So my first marriage, it just dissolved. It just didn't. I married my high school sweetheart, and she decided she missed out on something by not going to college, and she just left.
Wow.
So Lois had a very different environment.
Yeah.
But, it's just having experience is a wonderful thing. Like newlyweds going into something without the experience. I mean, that's a lot to
absorb. You got to learn it.
Yeah. Yeah, first 2 to 5 years are a challenge. They really are.
Okay, we're going to shift. This is a fun question, especially for you two. How did the two of you have fun as a couple?
We take the Stubbs kayaking.
Okay, I get it. You make fun of others.
Well, we have 10 grandchildren
and
4 great-grandchildren.
Oh,
so to me, that's fun being with any of them.
You don't look like great-grandparents.
Yeah.
Or really
great-grandparents,
I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when our oldest grandson was born, I was 44 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I was lamenting the fact that I was going to be 60 when he turned 16.
Yeah.
And my daughter looked at me and said, David, you don't have to worry. You can grow up together. And he is far more mature than I am at this point. He's got 3 sons of his own. He's 27 years old, has 3 sons of his own. He's a police officer in Florence, Alabama.
Wow.
And,
that's neat.
He's past me. I'm just a large boy. I'm 12 years old mentally.
Keeps you young, though, right?
Mentally.
Yeah.
We go kayaking, paddleboarding, camping, we play games, we try to play cards for an hour every night.
What kind of cards?
Wow.
Hand and foot.
Really? Well, her sister just saw us a new game called Swipe. We were playing that for the past week.
But we tried to make that time.
I am trying to get him into playing cards, and I bought this cool deck. It has all the national park pictures on the back. It's in this cool little carved wooden box. I'm like, this would be exciting, right?
Sounds like we need a date night.
Yeah.
I have never been a game person. I don't, or a card person. Nope. I'll do it if asked, and and then I get real competitive. But I always say there's a reason why they call it board games. That's a David joke.
I never heard that.
Don't use the board.
Oh, gosh.
Lois really likes to play games.
Yeah.
So
they're good for the mind. They're good for the mind. They really are.
Fun together with that.
And our granddaughter, Emma, that lives in Exeter, she'll come over just to play cards with me.
That's great. Wow.
So that she bonds with, they spend a lot of time together, playing cards.
Yeah.
The grandkids, Ben and Emma, will to swing by. He comes by to have cookies and root beer and play cards or whatever, hang out.
What a great thing for them.
They're the only two that are close, so we get to spend a little extra time with them.
You make time for them. That's awesome.
Sounds good. Yeah. So, next thought here. If given the opportunity to do something different in your marriage, what would it be and why? other than playing cards?
That was a hard one for me.
It was, because you think of a lot of different opportunities that you may have had or could have had. Mm-hmm. And I think one regret that I had, I would have liked to have changed, is that we got married when the girls were so old, 12 and 14, and they off to college at 18. I mean, we didn't have a lot of time in to develop a stronger relationship.
That's a good point.
And it seemed like after we got married, it was before you knew it, they were going to college. Right. Or Jen joined the Army. I mean, it was like
gone. That's like right out of high school.
Yeah. So I would have liked to have been a little more deliberate in developing a stronger relationship at that point in time. Hmm. But work gets in the way, things happen, and I was traveling a lot for work, and it just, you know, it didn't develop as much as I would have liked. Because originally when I adopted the girls, I wanted a more cohesive family. Right. I didn't want to be a stepdad. Hmm. And when I asked their biological father if I could adopt the girls, he thought about it for about 2 seconds.
Wow.
And he signed off because that freed him up from ever having to pay child support that he never paid anyways. Hmm. But it got him off the hook. Hmm. But nonetheless, I thought in my mind.
Good man, David.
In my mind, I just didn't want to be called a stepdad.
Yeah.
And so they ran across the paperwork one day about from the adoption, and it cost $15 each for me to adopt them. I had to register them with the state.
And wow. The judge said, you know, if your father wants to hit your bottom, he can.
Did they say that?
Can you imagine him saying it today?
Not today, no.
Yeah. Not a chance.
Yeah.
I remember when my mom remarried and my stepdad adopted Dan and I. Mm-hmm. And what was so crazy was a few years ago, we needed our birth certificate, mm-hmm. Passports, I think,
yeah.
Which I didn't have. So we had it, you know, ordered or whatever you do, sent. What was so crazy to me was his name was on that birth certificate. It was like what had happened to me in my childhood had been erased. That hit me so hard. That's adoption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the beauty of someone adopting
you. Willing to take on that responsibility. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. They paid a heavy price for it.
Jokes. Oh, boy.
All right. What do you hope your marriage will testify about you in 20 years?
That's when I'm still alive in 20 years and healthy.
Okay. Well, even if you're gone.
Yeah, even if I'm gone. That we lived a good Christian life and we were a good witness for Christ.
Yeah, basically that we were faithful servants, mm-hmm. you know. And, I mean, we're sinners, but we try, and I'm far, far, far from perfect, but, we'd like to think that we did make a difference. Mm. And we think about the kids that we have had in the house over the years.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know,
we were trying to figure out the other night how many safe family kids we had. We think we had six families.
Did you really? Wow. Hmm.
But, you know, just short term.
I was just thinking ISIS, you just had ISIS. Yeah, oh, no. So you had more than that. Yeah. Wow.
And in a lot of regards, it made the other families, it made it hard because we had so much fun with ISIS. We enjoyed her so much.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the gold standard. And I had to really correct my thinking whenever we had these other kids that
it was just so temporary.
They were damaged goods. These kids are in terrible situations. Mm. And it was hard though.
It was really hard for him. I had to go someplace and he had to take one of the girls back to Manchester. Mm. And
I was ready to drop her off on the side of the road.
Yeah. Oh.
She was a tough one, but wow. He didn't have to deal with her. I dealt with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I couldn't take her home. So he had to, so he didn't know what she was like.
It's hard. It's
interesting.
These kids have some really
and their lives are just
messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd like to think that we helped
made
in some small way.
You sure did.
And
you were being faithful.
Lois laughs at the mall thing. Mm-hmm.
The dump.
It's the mall. Because over the years, I've gotten dozens of bicycles.
Amen. There's a,
dozens of those Razor scooters. People throw them away in there in perfect condition.
Right.
I'll get them, throw them a tire or tube in it, and the kids have bikes.
We put together our first deck from the dump.
Well, you know.
I know. You came home with all this wood. I'm like, where'd you find that? Beautiful wood.
At the mall, honey.
Yeah,
at the mall. Yeah. Well, if we were to, if 20 years from now was now, and I was to look back, I would see that the Lilienthals served the Lord. Were very hospitable and open door. There, you guys are always here.
And faithful.
Faithful, and that is to me, it's a huge testimony.
Thank you.
That you guys have carried at least since we've known you, and I think it's been over 20 years that we've known you. So.
And you still admit to knowing us.
Yeah, that's easy.
Still like you.
All right. Last question here. What has surprised you about marriage?
Oh, what surprised me was that we cannot wallpaper together.
That's deep.
That could have been. I'm with you.
That could have been.
We had a hard time.
It was.
Boy.
Well, David's left-handed.
I'm left-handed.
Oh, so I do one-arm paper hanger.
So I do everything backwards in her in her view. But I
And it was only a bathroom.
And bathrooms are the hardest.
And it took us like 10 hours just to do one wall.
She said, just get me started. Put the first piece up. So I did. And I did it the way that I would do it, but it was backwards for what her mind, the way her mind thinks.
Awful.
She complained bitterly every piece she put up. This is backwards. So she doesn't ask me to wallpaper.
Right. Yeah,
that's
certain
good.
Things you do learn.
Lesson
it's like we're better to not do it together.
Yes.
We've done that. It's like
we found our spaces.
If we get to the same place at the end of the road, who cares how you got there?
That's right.
Yeah. Sometimes that road is pretty hard, though. Did you have hair when you guys got married?
Yes.
I had more than I have now.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, you did.
When I moved out here, that's right.
So
I,
did that surprise Lois when you lost it?
No. No, it was already pretty thin at that point. But when I met her, I had a beard.
Ooh.
And she had never seen
Amy's
me.
Beard.
She had never seen me without a mustache. Mm. So one day she says, you know, I haven't seen you without a mustache, so why don't you shave it off so I can see what you look like? So I did, and I came out of the bathroom, and she looked at me and says, okay, you can put it back on now.
So that was your surprise.
It's gonna take a month or so before that happens, but yeah, I can do that.
Oh, boy.
Awesome.
Wow.
So Lois skipped out one of the things. When we first met, we were just friends. She was trying to set me up with all of her girlfriends.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. So how are you friends? Just what context were you guys in? It was because the father?
Yeah, because of my parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So she was trying to set me up with her friends, and they weren't interested.
That is just right, because you weren't for them. You were for you, and Lois wasn't getting the memo.
She was running.
And I'm still friends with them, and one of them keeps on saying –
Should have done it.
With him, but they would have never made it.
It wasn't a good thing.
They would have never made it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kathy.
Yeah. That's right. Meant for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And there is a design for marriage. Obviously, we always talk about this in the gospel and how it is it's a representation of what Jesus has done for us. And what a better example than you two to see that God has brought together. How many years have you been married? Did we hear that?
39. Well, December will be 39.
39 years. Wow. And it's, you guys look good together. So it's a blessing. It really is.
We just celebrated our 37th.
37th. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You're right there.
I know.
But have you noticed that I'm a foot taller than Lois? But when we sit down, we're the same height.
You're on the even ground there. Yeah. Made in God's image.
Okay. So what does that mean? She's longer waisted? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
And shorter legs. I have long legs and a short
okay.
torso.
All right. That's kind of cool, actually.
Her sister is 4'9 or 4'10. It's the same thing. She's got no legs. She's like...
She's going to hear this.
Don't tell her.
She'll go
we'll send her a copy. All right. We are going to transition. You guys... Yeah, probably aware of this. We want to do the lightning round with you guys, okay? Just one word, couple words maybe, and we're looking for a quick answer. I think in past podcasts, the answers aren't quick. But
it's just the first thing that comes to your mind.
First thing that pops to your mind.
You really don't want to hear
yes,
that.
Yes, we totally do. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready? Camping or cruise?
Camping.
Yes, I knew it. Totally. All right, hobbies.
Crafts.
What kind of crafts specific?
What do you do? You scrap wood. You sew. I sew. Yeah, I sew and bought, make bottle things and wood, working with wood pieces. All right, and so decorative stuff. Yeah, yeah, cool. What was the question? Hobbies. Just building stuff. Yeah, wood too. Wood, right? Metal. Doesn't matter. Did you ever make your hobby your boat?
No, hobby boat. Well, we used to have a Hobie Cat.
Hobie Cat, that's a hobby and boat at the same time.
Well, see, I was going to build it in your barn.
You were. I can't tell you, the barn's too short.
That's probably just a fantasy on my part, but I still would like to.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have it all designed. I just need to.
Just put it together. Yeah. Okay, favorite food?
Burger. Or fish, probably.
Yeah, probably fish.
Fish?
Nice.
Fried or broiled, baked?
Fried for me.
Fried.
Fried.
What's your favorite place to go for fish? Because we are in fish country.
Old Salt.
Old Salt.
Oh, really?
Okay. Actually, the 110 has some pretty good fish also.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Reading or movies?
Movies.
Sit down. Okay.
Both.
Okay. You have a favorite?
Movie?
Mm-hmm. We don't want to know what his is.
Wait a minute.
He looked at Lois like, should I say it?
Well, I was going to say, Lois was going to talk. Galaxy Quest with Tim Allen, Sigourney Weaver. It's a spoof of Star Trek.
Right.
Oh,
and
gosh,
believe it or not, Pastor Ken has actually watched it.
Wow, there you go.
Pastor Ken approves.
He watches it all the time. He can watch it and you think, oh, this is the first time he's seen it.
Just last.
Well,
I'm that way with What About Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, you got to watch that. Every time you'll find something to do to laugh at. Yeah.
Mine was, what is it? Legally
Blonde.
Blonde. I have not seen that. I've heard it's great.
It is so funny. And that I don't watch movies twice or three times, you know. But that one, I think I've probably seen six times.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
Every time you watch it, you find something else that's so funny.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
Favorite books?
Fiction? Should probably say the Bible.
It doesn't.
That's the Bible.
Fiction?
I said they probably should say the Bible.
Well, that's the book I read the most.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, there you go. That's good. That's good. All right. What is awe-inspiring to you? Awe-inspiring.
God's creation.
Creation, yes.
It awes me that people like non-Christians things don't bother them that should bother them. I guess I'm not explaining that right.
Yeah.
I see
where that could be. It can be like, really?
Yeah. It's hard, you know.
Yeah.
You really think that?
Yeah.
What a blessing to have the mind of Christ.
I know.
That we see this world and see life totally different.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Travel.
In the camper. with the camper.
You've seen a lot of places.
You guys have done a lot of traveling.
Yeah, when you say travel, I was thinking, should we go on more trips? Or
do you like it?
Yes, I do.
You like driving for a long way.
I mean, when we had, in 2018, when we went cross country?
We had ISIS, yeah.
We drove to California and we stopped. We stopped at friends and families
in 2018.
We had
David retired, and we left.
I retired on April 27th. On May 3rd, we jumped in our car. It was stuffed with stuff. and ISIS was in the back seat. But we had, we drove.
A little cubby hole for
we were gone for 62 days. Wow. We drove 13,000 miles. We hit 33 states.
Wow.
And we had
That's awesome.
35 stops. Either some were just drive-bys.
Was this all planned or did you just?
Yeah. It was
planned,
but a lot of it was still kind of spontaneous. Yeah. But it was supposed to be a meandering road trip and it turned into a high-speed road race. Because we had so many places that we
had you were getting behind.
And then when we were there, we got a call saying that we had to bring ISIS back.
Oh.
We had to
come home and they wanted her back on July 1st or so, whatever day. Mm. And I said, no, we're not dropping her off. I'm bringing her to the doctors first.
Yeah. Mm.
And having her have a complete checkup before I give her back.
Good for you. Yeah.
So
amazing care of her.
So, and she made the trip a lot of fun. Mm. She really, everything was new. Everything was an adventure.
And you guys had the bandwidth to have a 4 or 5 year old.
Really? What was that?
You had the bandwidth to have ISIS, which is just amazing. Yeah.
Well, people.
That means energy. Lois.
People would say that we were crazy.
People thought we can't see. Lois is going, what are you saying?
But people thought we were crazy taking a 4-year-old. She turned 5 on the trip. Wow. Taking a 4-year-old on the road trip with us. So she made the trip a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great.
And she learned how to swim on that trip.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And she.
Well, you let her be a kid in a way she hadn't been able to. And that probably was great for her.
She had a very dense body mass, so she didn't float well.
Yeah.
She didn't.
But she just sunk to the bottom.
But by the time we got to Phoenix,
she'll be right.
She could swim from one end of the pool to the other, like a big in-ground pool, underwater on one breath.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And I used to play a game with her that I'd take her in the shallow and I'd push her down so she could touch the bottom. And you know, so
just what hope the authorities didn't see you doing that.
What she would do, she'd swim down to the deep end and go down the ladder. She'd pull herself down on the ladder to touch the bottom at the eight foot depth.
Wow.
But it just anyway, that's
a lot of fun.
It was a blast watching her grow that way.
You guys have a favorite place?
On that trip? Or in general?
In any of your travels?
I think the island that we were on, that was probably one of my favorites.
Channel Islands National Park.
Oh, that was very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
We
liked Yellowstone a lot.
Yeah. Yellowstone was nice.
All right, last thought on that. Heaven.
That's I can't wait.
Can't wait.
I should have been there many times over already.
Right?
My kids think I have 9 lives. I really, truly should have been dead.
Just a half dozen
times.
Wow.
Just share, just briefly with us, kind of your journey.
I had my driver's license for 32 days back in 1970, and I totaled my car. Walked away without a scratch.
Wow.
Destroyed 4 others at the same time.
Wow.
In 2008, I was cutting down trees in my front yard with Dennis Smith. Uh-huh. And we hooked the power line with a branch he cut. I was holding the branch.
Gosh.
Dragged it into the boom lift that we were in, and it arced out.
Oh.
And it fried the machine. And Dennis and I didn't even get a tinkle.
Should have got
nothing.
You.
Nothing. Oh,
gosh.
And we were like 18 inches away from where this thing hit.
Yeah.
Out. And then in 2010, I was working in upstate New York and went for a bike ride after work to help get in the shape.
I remember that.
And I woke up 5 hours later in the hospital, and somehow or other I managed to fall off my bike and land on my head.
Mm.
And Lois got a phone call to get out there right away.
Yeah.
And I fractured my skull, had a brain bleed, fractured my left eardrum, broke my left shoulder blade, 6 ribs.
Wow.
And had very little, almost no road rash. I rode the front tire over and went splat on my head, and that was it.
So all the front went to your head.
Was that the last one?
No.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, your heart.
Your heart.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. On this road trip, they figured out that Lois's sister was trying to kill me. we went up to 9,000 feet on a hike, and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And the
and
next
day, then we went for a bike ride. And
the next day,
we went
back down to 8,000 feet where they lived. We went for a bike ride, and I had ISIS on the back of my bike.
Oh, goodness.
With those little child seats. And they were going up this half-mile-long uphill grade. I had to stop three times on the hill because I couldn't. It's an 18-speed mountain bike I'm on, and I couldn't pedal up the hill.
Mm.
And ISIS was behind me going, Pop, Pop, would you pedal faster and catch up to Mimi? Says, if you want to go any faster, you're going to have to pedal. And we came home, and I was cutting my grass in the front yard, and I couldn't walk across the yard without running out of air.
Yeah, that was a scary time.
And so they found out that I have an enlarged heart.
Mm.
And I told the doctor, I said, well, I just have a lot of empathy for the world.
We all went, we know
he has a large heart.
But the cool part, the fun, I had a lot of, and I never felt bad, but I had a lot of fun with the doctors over this. And well, and they told me that I had to get a pacemaker. And I says, well, you know, you're going to go through this thing. It's got a defibrillator in it. It's got good for 50,000 volts. So can I get the Iron Man version?
I want
the blue light in the chest one. And they said, no, David, we can't do that. Said, well, how about I get a hand buzzer so when I shake someone's hand, I can give them a little shot. He says, no, David, we can't do that. So the night in the hospital, I had to go to Manchester, the CMC, to get it put in. I took a 3-inch digital or LED tap light and taped it on my chest. underneath my Johnny. And at midnight, I walked out to the nurse's station. There's a dozen cardiac nurses sitting there. And I had this light on. It says, this thing is awesome. I feel great. And they all just looked at me like they dumbfounded. It's like, you've never seen that before. So, but anyways, yeah. So God is I, all these things have happened. And I wonder, you know, what does God have planned for me? What's he keeping me around for? Yeah. What's next?
Right. You know, it's your story.
That's right.
It's both your guys' story together.
Well, it's encouraging to us, too, because you are on this road ahead of us.
Yeah.
And as we're aging, you do. You start to go, okay,
what's next?
We no longer fit in what we've done, but we know God's not done with us.
Yeah.
So you are greatly encouraging to us, and we thank you very much for doing this.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, you guys.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. We truly enjoy getting to talk with couples we interview, right?
Amen.
As a reminder, our prayer and hope with this podcast is that you will find commonality with the couples we interview and encouragement for your own marriages. We've been encouraged.
We have been, totally.
Even sometimes a surprise to ourselves.
Right.
We all struggle. Let's make no mistake about that. We want to give up. We wonder if things would be better in someone else's life. But the truth is, the blessing comes out of perseverance. Pressing through the ugly and the hard and seeing God restore, redeem, and renew when we seek Him to lead us. Surrendering our own way to let God create what He wants in our marriage. It's hard.
It's very hard. And surrender is always a hard thing, and yet it is the best thing when it comes to marriage.
It's the only way I feel we make progress. And it's a testimony. It's a testimony to the world around us, our marriages, our families, asking the Lord to lead us. Scripture is filled with promises that the Lord will strengthen us. Isaiah is, what are the verses that Isaiah says? Strengthen my feeble hands. Of course, the famous verse, He will renew their strength.
Right. Yeah. Mount up with wings like eagles.
Right? I will
strengthen you and help you.
Psalm David is continually crying out for the Lord to strengthen him, calling on God for his strength.
Right.
And so we hope that these podcasts are part of that and part of your life as you listen to them and just share them with us. So we thank you for joining us.